And if you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Have you ever acted on information that you later found to be false? So too incomplete. It's the information you received, the information you had. It's all you had to go on. It seemed legitimate. It seemed genuine. And the source, reputable. And so the act, the decision, the reaction, the response, seemingly valid until a revealing. 2 Samuel 9. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness?" That is covenant faithfulness for Jonathan's sake. And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "At your service." Then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to him, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amniel, in Lodabar." And the king sent and brought him out of the house at Machir, the son of Amniel, from Lodabar. Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant, that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons." Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both feet. You know, I never tire of the story. The story of a man, the history, a lame man, broken by a fall, crippled and shattered and forgotten, there in Lodabar, desert, wilderness, wasteland, without pasture. The son of Jonathan, lame in his feet, lame in both feet. "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness?" Covenant faithfulness for Jonathan's sake. And what of the greater David? our God, the kindness of God, the King, and the cripple. A picture of humanity, a picture of humankind. Men and women broken by the fall, lame, crippled, living in a fallen world. And the voice of the Lord, his heart's cry, is there still anyone? Anyone who is left? That I may show kindness to them, covenant faithfulness? Yes. There are many left. So many in low the bar. Is there still anyone left that I may show him kindness, her kindness, covenant faithfulness for Jesus' sake? The kindness of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, is there anyone left? Is there anyone? Where is he? Where is she? Low the bar. And yet what low place. Ziba told the king, yes, there is one. There's a son. He's lame in both feet and low to bar. You know, King David, he didn't waste a minute. He didn't lose a minute. He sent and got him. The Voice Bible reads, David sent for Jonathan's son Mephibosheth and had him brought to Jerusalem for the house of Machir, son of Amiel in Lodabar. When he arrived, Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, grandson of Saul, laid face down on the floor and honored the king. David, Mephibosheth, at your service, my king. And David said, there's no need to be frightened. I intend to treat you kindly for the sake of your father, Jonathan, who was my loyal friend. I'll return to you all the territory that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always be welcome at my table. Mephibosheth again prostrated himself before the king. What am I to you, king? What am I to you that the king should look with favor on a dead dog like me? I am as one of your servants. And the king summoned Ziba, who had been Saul's servant. David said, everything that belonged to his grandfather Saul and his family, I've returned to your master's descendant. You and your sons and your servants will work on his farms and bring in his produce so that he and his household will have food. But Mephibosheth will always eat at my table. Even the little dogs eat crumbs from the table. But not this little dog. Take a seat at the table, son. Pull up to the king's table, lame one. Mephibosheth remained in Jerusalem where he always ate at the king's table. Remain and always eat. We all, broken by the fall, physically, the man remained lame, serves as a picture of our weakness, the weakness we know and feel, lame in both feet without him. But the king is for us now. We belong to him now. There, seated at his table, seated at the table of the Lord, and I don't see my brokenness anymore when I'm seated at the table of the Lord, just the feast and the presence of my Savior. Pull up to the table, son. Pull up to the table, daughter. Is there anyone left? God's on the lookout. Is there another son? Is there another daughter? I'm so desperate to show my covenant faithfulness. What low place are they in? What low place are they at this day? And God looks out of heaven. even now. The eyes of the Lord upon the world, upon humanity. He sees every son, he sees every daughter. And his heart is for them. He wants to show them covenant faithfulness. The words of Charles Spurgeon, if Mephibosheth was thus humbled by David's kindness, what shall we be in the presence of our gracious Lord? The more grace we have, the less we shall think of ourselves. For grace, like light, reveals our impurity. Eminent saints have scarcely known to what to compare themselves. Their sense of unworthiness has been so clear and keen. I am, says Holy Rutherford, a dry and withered branch, a piece of dead carcass, dry bones and not able to step over a straw. In another place he writes, except as to open outbreakings, I want nothing of what Judas and Cain had. The meanest objects in nature appear to the humbled mind to have a preference above self because they have never contracted sin. A dog may be greedy, fierce, or filthy, but it has no conscience to violate, no Holy Spirit to resist. A dog may be a worthless animal, and yet by a little kindness it is soon won to love its master and is faithful unto death. But we forget the goodness of the Lord and follow not at his call. The term dead dog is the most expressive of all terms of contempt, but it is none too strong to express a self-absorbance of instructed believers. They do not affect mock modesty. They mean what they say. They have weighed themselves in the balances of the sanctuary and found out the vanity of their nature. At best, we are but clay, animated dust, men walking, mere walking hillocks, but viewed as sinners, we are monsters indeed. Let it be published in heaven as a wonder that the Lord Jesus should set his heart's love upon such as we are. Dust and ashes though we be, we must and will magnify the exceeding greatness of his grace. Could not his heart find rest in heaven? Must he needs come to these tents of Kedar for a spouse and choose a bride upon whom the sun had looked? O heavens and earth, break forth into song and give all glory to our sweet Lord Jesus. Well, it was quite the time in the kingdom. All was well. All was right. And now we speak of the little D, David. There was a lot going on in the kingdom. Chapter 10, the Ammonites and Syrians defeated. Chapter 11, David, Bathsheba, and Uriah. Chapter 12, Nathan's parable and David's confession, the death of David's son. Solomon is born. Rabbah is captured. Chapter 13, Amnon and Tamar. Absalom murders Amnon. Absalom flees to Geshur. Chapter 14, Absalom returns to Jerusalem. David forgives Absalom. Chapter 15, Absalom's treason. David escapes from Jerusalem. Chapter 16, Mephibosheth's servant. Pause. 2 Samuel 16, 1-4. When David was a little past the top of the mountain, there was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who met him with a couple of saddled donkeys and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a skin of wine. And the king said to Ziba, what do you mean to do with these? So Ziba said, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink. Then the king said, and where is your master's son? Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is staying in Jerusalem, for he said, today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me. So the king said to Ziba, "Here, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours." And Ziba said, "I humbly bow before you that I may find favor in your sight, my lord, O king. Could it be? Could this be information? A little past the top of the mountain, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, is there, and he meets David with a couple of saddled donkeys loaded with supplies. What do you mean to do with these, Ziba?" "Well, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wines for those that are faint, those that are weary in the wilderness, it's for them to drink." Verses 3 to 4, the Amplified Classic, the king said, "And where is your master's son, grandson, Mephibosheth?" Ziba said to the king, "Behold, take notice, king, for your information, king. You need to know this, king. Behold, he remains in Jerusalem, for he said, 'Today the house of Israel will give me back the kingdom of my father, grandfather Saul.'" Then the king said to Ziba, "Behold, all that belonged to Mephibosheth is now yours." Ziba said, "I do obeisance. Let me ever find favor in your sight, my lord, O king." Information. Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. I mean, what happened to, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? What now? A king shepherd? Such kindness. Such covenant kindness. And now you're after the kingdom? Information. It's the information David had. The information he had received. It's all he had to go on. It seemed legitimate. It seemed genuine. And the source, reputable. This is Ziba, you know. Ziba said to the king, "According," remember, he said, "according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do." And so, this is all David had to go on. All David had to go on, the message reads, "He stayed in Jerusalem," said Ziba. "He said, 'This is the day Israel is going to restore my grandfather's kingdom to me.' Everything that belonged to Mephibosheth," said the king, "is now yours." Ziba said, "How can I ever thank you? I'll be forever in your debt, my master and king. May you always look on me with such kindness." Information. And the act, the decision, the reaction, the response, seemingly valid. Until the revealing. Just the headings. Chapter 16, Mephibosheth's servant. Shimei curses David, the advice of Ahithophel. Chapter 17, the advice of Ahithophel and Hoshai, the advice of Hoshai. Hoshai warns David to escape. Chapter 18, Absalom's defeat and death. David hears of Absalom's death. David's mourning for Absalom. Almost there. Chapter 19, David returns to Jerusalem. David's mercy to Shimei. David and Mephibosheth meet. Pause. 2 Samuel 19, we pick it up at verse 24. "Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king." And he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day the king returned in peace. So it was, when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, 'I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on it and go to the king,' because your servant is lame. And he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like the angel of God. Therefore, do what is good in your eyes. For all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who eat at your own table. Therefore, what right have I still to cry, that is, complain any more to the king?" So the king said to him, "Why do you speak any more of your matters? Have I said, 'I have said, you and Ziba divide the land'?" Then Mephibosheth said to the king, "Rather let him take it all. Inasmuch as my lord the king has come back in peace to his own house." The Voice Bible, Mephibosheth, the lame grandson of Saul, the son of David's dear friend Jonathan, also made his way to meet the king. His feet had not been cared for, no, and his beard had grown long, and he had not washed his clothes since the king went into exile and returned in peace. When he met the king in Jerusalem, the king received him. "David, why didn't you go into exile with me, Mephibosheth?" He replies, "My lord, my servant Ziba tricked me. I asked him to saddle a donkey so that I could go with you, for you know I cannot walk. He has told you lies about me. But my lord is like a heavenly messenger of God. So do what seems right to you, and I will accept it. You had the right to kill everyone in my family when you became king, yet you took me to sit at your table. So it would be wrong for me to ever bicker over anything with you." Spirit speak. David said, "Let's not talk anymore about this. I have decided that you and Ziba will share the land, Mephibosheth, my king. Let him take it all. I'm just grateful you are back safely in your own palace and kingdom." Ziba. His name means statue. A servant of Saul whom David made steward of Jonathan's son Mephibosheth. His name means a plant. But now you're planting lies, Mephibber. Have you ever acted on information that you later found to be false? In all the act, the decision, the reaction, the response, seemingly valid. Until a revealing. Mephibosheth. All this time, he's longing for the king. All this time, he's lamenting for the king. He's hoping for the king. He's thinking of the king. He's praying for the king. The Wycliffe Bible, also Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down with unwashed feet and with his beard unclipped into the coming of the king. And Mephibosheth had not washed his clothes from the day in which the king went out of Jerusalem till the day of his coming again in peace. And Mephibosheth, Saul's son, came down with unwashed feet and with his beard unclipped to meet the king. And Mephibosheth had not washed his clothes from the day in which the king went out of Jerusalem until the day that he returned in victory, until the day that he was safe, until the day he safely returned home. You know, this man loved the king. This man had such a heart for the king. He so loved the king, he could never and he would never forget the kindness shown to him by the king. He would never plot against the king. He would never conspire against the king. He knew that he was a dead dog without the king. Ziba. Brother. Has the service gotten to you? Had the service gotten to you? You know, the king's orders. You got tired of serving in this manner, tired of who you were serving, his condition, his malady. You and your sons and your servants tired of working the land for Mephibosheth, bringing in harvest that he might have food to eat and to think. Mephibosheth, this lame man, lame in both feet, to think he's eating at the king's table. The greater David always acts in right manner. God always acts in right manner. He knows all. He sees all. But the little D Davids, look at the heart and spirit of Mephibosheth. Verse 30, the New King James Version. Then Mephibosheth said to the king, rather let him take it all, inasmuch as my lord the king has come back in peace to his own house. The Voice Bible, my king, let him take it all. I'm just grateful you are back safely in your own palace and kingdom. The Message paraphrase, all I care about is that my master, the king, is home safe and sound. The Living Bible, give him all of it, Mephibosheth said. I am content just to have you back again. Godliness with contentment. You see, as long as he had the king, he had all he needed. As long as he had the king, he had everything he needed. The presence of the king, the kingdom of the king, the rule of the king, the friendship of the king, the table of the king. Ziba left Mephibosheth behind to make it look like he didn't support David. Ziba told lies. He lied to David. It had to have hurt David. And in a time of crisis, to hear that another friend had turned against him. Hey, David, king, I got some information. David, this is how that dead dog, that son of Jonathan, this is how he repays you for kindness. These words, this was a shameless and selfless slander uttered by a false and faithless sycophant. You see, it seems Ziba got what he wanted that day. Wickedly using the crisis for his own benefit. Chapter 20, David and Mephibosheth meet. David's kindness to Barzillai, the quarrel about the king. Chapter 21, David avenges the Gibeonites. Pause. 2 Samuel 21, 1-7, reading from the Voice. After the people had suffered from a famine for three successive years, David asked the Eternal One, yes, God, why the famine lingered, and the answer came that the nation was guilty for not making amends for the bloodlust of King Saul, who slaughtered the people of Gibeon. The Gibeonites were not from Israel. They were related to the Amorites. Saul tried to annihilate them in his zeal for Israel and Judah, although the people of Israel had promised to spare them during the days of Joshua. Promise. So David called for the leaders of Gibeon. David said, what can I do? What can I give you to lift this guilt from my hands so that you will honor the Eternal's chosen people, the Gibeonite leaders? Silver and gold won't make things right for us with Saul's kingdom. And it is not for us to tell you who should be subject to capital punishment in Israel. David, I'll do whatever you ask, giving out leaders. Saul attacked us and tried to destroy us, to wipe us off the map of Israel. Give us seven of his descendants, and we will hang them on a tree in Gibeah before the Eternal on his mountain. David said, I will give them to you. Now the king did not give them Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson and Jonathan's son, because of the sacred oath between David and Jonathan. Have we ever acted on information that we later found to be false? It's the information we received. It's the information we had. It's all we had to go on. It seemed legitimate. It seemed genuine. And the source, reputable. And so the act, the decision, the response, the reaction, seemingly valid. Until a revealing. Lord, keep us from this. And if it ever happens this way, may we have a spirit of repentance. Ziba, don't become weary in well-doing. By the Spirit of God today, don't become weary of the king's orders. Don't become weary of service. Don't become weary of Mephibosheth. Stay strong. Stay statue. A plant. A proper plant and planting. Not a planter of lies, a supplanter. The king is kind. Just to be of service to the king. And Ziba, without the king, you're a dead dog too. Mephibosheth. Stay true, just as you are. You don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. The king is yours, and you are his, and this is beautiful. He is your lifeline. He is your master. Keep eating and feasting at his table until the time of table land. Such sweet longing for your king in your heart. Such beautiful lyrics. Wounded and forsaken, I was shattered by the fall. Broken and forgotten, feeling lost and all alone. Summoned by the king into the master's courts. Lifted by my Savior and cradled in his arms. I was carried to the table. Seated where I don't belong, carried to the table, swept away by his love. And I don't see my brokenness anymore. When I'm seated at the table of the Lord, I'm carried to the table of the Lord. Fighting thoughts of fear, wondering why he called my name. Imagine that day. Is there anyone left? Yeah, there's a son, Mephibosheth, in Lodabar, a low place. David sends for him. Fighting thoughts of fear, wondering why he called my name. Am I good enough to share this cup? This world has left me lame. Even in my weakness, the Savior called my name. In his holy presence, I'm healed and unashamed as I'm carried to the table. Seated where I don't belong, carried to the table, swept away by his love, and I don't see my brokenness anymore. When I'm seated at the table of the Lord, I'm carried to the table of the Lord. The king sent and brought us. He brought us out of Lodabar. I'm still blown away by his kindness, his covenant faithfulness. Aren't you blown away that he's given you a seat at his table? You're like, it's my right. Right. Stay humble. Stay broken. Never lose the wonder. Remain and continue to eat. I'd never walk away because I can't walk away. You know why? Because I'm lame in both feet for any other life, for any other existence. I remember how pastorless life was before I met the King. Still amazed that he loves a dead dog like me. He will always be the King, and I will always be the cripple. And even when he brings you and makes you a little K-King, you're nothing without him. These words, Mephibosheth was no great ornament to a royal table, yet he had a continual place at David's board because the King could see in his face the features of the beloved Jonathan. Like Mephibosheth, we may cry unto the King of glory, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" But still the Lord indulges us with most familiar intercourse with himself because he sees in our countenances the remembrance of his dearly beloved Jesus. The Lord's people are dear for another's sake. Such is the love which the Father bears to his only begotten, that for his sake he raises his lowly brethren from poverty and banishment to courtly companionship, noble rank, and royal provision. Their deformity shall not rob them of their privileges. Lameness is no bar to sonship. The cripple is as much the heir as if he could run like Aziel. Our right does not limp, though our might may. A king's table is a noble hiding place for lame legs. And at the gospel's feast, we learn to glory in infirmities because the power of Christ resteth upon us. Yet grievous disability may mar the persons of the best loved saints. Hear this today. Yet grievous disability may mar the persons of the best loved saints. Here is one feasted by David, and yet so lame in both his feet that he could not go up with the king when he fled from the city, and was therefore maligned and injured by his servant Ziba. Saints whose faith is weak and whose knowledge is slender are great losers. They are exposed to many enemies and cannot follow the king whithersoever he goeth. This disease frequently arises from falls, bad nursing in their spiritual infancy, often causes converts to fall into despondency from which they never recover, and sin in other cases brings broken bones. Lord, help the lame to leap like an hart, and satisfy all thy people with the bread of thy table. Lameness is no bar to sonship, and the king's table is a glorious hiding place for lame legs. Yes, we glory in infirmities, for the power of Christ resteth upon us. But this the Lord wants us healed of and even protected from. Grievous disability that mars the persons. Grievous disability that mars the persons of even the best loved saints. One feasted by the King, and yet so lame in both feet that they cannot go up with the king when it's time. And because of this, maligned and injured by a rogue, evil, conniving, plotting servant. We're talking about weak faith, slender knowledge, exposed to many enemies and cannot follow the king whithersoever he goeth, wherever he goes. Falls. A disease. This lame state, this lameness that frequently arises from falls. bad nursing in spiritual infancy, causing converts to fall into despondency from which they never recover. Despondency from which they never recover, and sin in other cases brings broken bones. Careful who nurses you in spiritual infancy. You can have the worship team return today. Lord, help the lame to lean. Help the lame to leap like a hart and satisfy all thy people with bread from thy table. And let us go up with the king. Let us follow him wherever he goes. You know, he will heal us, the lameness that has risen from falls. And even if we have fallen into despondency, he can recover us. Hopelessness and sadness and misery and dejection and unhappiness and gloom, cheerlessness, joylessness, discouragement, even the sin that's broken bones. You know, perhaps it's been bad nursing in infancy, in spiritual infancy, bad nursing. The Lord can help us. The Lord can mend us. The Lord can repair us. The Lord can heal us. You're like, what are you talking about? 2 Samuel 4:1-4, when Saul's son heard that Abner had died in Hebron, we're backing up, he lost heart. His hands dropped. And all Israel was troubled. Now Saul's son had two men who were captains of troops. The name of one was Baana, and the name of the other Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, the children of Benjamin, for Beeroth was part of Benjamin because the Beerothites fled to get to him and have been sojourners there unto this day. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. Was it haste? Was it hurry? And we fell and became lame? The Lord can deal with the ramifications that haste and hurry has delivered. Well, son, what's the meaning of your name? Mephibosheth, exterminating the idol. I-D-O-L-E. I-D-O-L. And what of this spelling? I-D-L-E. Get rid of the idols. Get rid of the idol. God help us with the idol. Exterminate the idols like Gideon and never become weary of Mephibosheth life. No idol living, and to God that we would all leap like a hart. Are we here this day and we've been given information? Maybe you've been given information. It's all you have to go on right now. Before you act, this might save somebody here today. This might help somebody here today, even if it's just one. You've been given information. Before we act, let's go to God. Wait for the revealing, spared from what haste and hurry might bring about. How many have acted on information in the moment? It's all they had to go on. It seemed legitimate. And so they acted and they reacted, even setting things in place. It seemed that the decision was right until the revealing. You know, Mephibosheth had a son. His name means who is like God. the rightly lame and loyal lovers of God. Lord, help the offspring to be like you. I share some lyrics today. King and cripple. King or cripple. Martin Smith. King or cripple. What have I become? Beneath these kingly robes, there lies a fragile man. What made me a king can sometimes cripple. All that you give can sometimes rob my innocence. Why do you let us walk upon a cliff so steep when deep below the sea there lies a bed of gold? And if this should be our battle place, don't let me fall. Don't let me fall. Keep me, keep me. I love to hold the hand of one who healed the blind and saw the leper run into the arms of love. King or cripple, they were the same to you. You took a broken man and you treat him like a king. But that line, those words, what made me a king can sometimes cripple. All that you give can sometimes rob my innocence. Lord, help us. Don't let us fall. Mephibosheth life, no idol, no idol, no I-D-O-L, no I-D-L-E. All that you give, God, all the blessing that you give, all that you provide in my life, all the opportunity, all the stuff that makes me a king, it can sometimes cripple. All that you give, it's robbed many of innocence. They started to say, I can't come eat at your table, even though the invite's gone out. One by one, they started to make an excuse. I just got myself a wife. I can't come. I just started a business, God. I'm a little busy right now. I just got a pay increase. I gotta go spend. One by one, they started to make excuses, and the king said, go out and find the others. Go and find all the lame ones that are going to come from all the low places, and they're going to be like Mephibosheth. They're going to say, I'm a dead dog. I'm a dead dog without you, God. They're going to pull up. They're going to realize that they're lame in both feet. They can't walk away because they can't walk away. And they're going to feast forever at the table of the Lord. All you others, go! But Mephibosheth stays at the king's table. He pulls up. He knows he's lame. He looks down every once in a while, and he sees that he is lame. He sees his feet. He remembers his state without the king, without the spread, without the feast. He never complains about what the king puts on the table, does he? You guys, it's so true. Lord, help us, and Lord, open our eyes. Lord, open our eyes. What made me a king, what makes me a king, even in my own eyes, all that we accumulate in this life and get in this life and experience in this life and on and on and on and on and on and on. What made me a king can sometimes cripple. I wonder, is there anybody in the house here today and you're like, if I'm honest before the Lord, or if I open myself up to the Holy Spirit, what God has given, what has made me a king, has crippled me. I have allowed it, not God. I have allowed it. To rob my innocence. To rob my innocence. I'm not innocent, God. I'm not innocent anymore. I've lost that simplicity. I've lost I got an ID oil in my life. And concerning Christianity, it's kind of become IDLE. Having left that.